Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints and the magisterium of the Catholic Church to help us light the way to heaven and help us to navigate these difficult and challenging times. And I've been saying that, you know, for a long time in terms of the intro.
Right.
And it's not getting easier.
No.
And I don't foresee it getting any easier for whatever reason. And so this topic today is really vital for understanding how it is that we can do something. A lot of people are saying, what do I do? You know, there's weird stuff going on in the church, outside of the church. You know, even one of our employees wrote me a note the other day and said, what exactly can I do? Mm-hmm. And this show is all about the answer of the most important thing we can do,
right,
which is intercessory prayer. And our guest, Dr. Joseph Holcraft, has written an excellent book entitled Unleashing the Power of Intercessory Prayer, published by Sophia Institute Press. Welcome to the show, Dr. Holcraft.
It's great to be with you, Dan and Stephanie. Thank you for the invitation.
Awesome.
Well, before we jump in, Steph, you want to tell folks of who this guy is?
Who this guy is.
Right.
Okay. Beyond being our friend.
Right.
And being our coworker, because we love having him on our team.
Yeah.
Dr. Holcraft is a professor at the Avila Institute. Yep, that's right. Our Avila Institute.
That's
We're so
right.
excited to have you here. And he is the director of our High Calling Program, which I know Dan's going to speak a little bit about, just to let you know, like, what is he involved in? What is he doing in this High Calling Program? He's the author of A Heart for Evangelizing and a regular contributor to the Catechetical Review, Homiletic and Pastoral Review, and SpiritualDirection.com. He hosted the radio broadcast Seeds of Truth, which reached thousands of listeners in more than 40 countries and can still be found on iTunes podcast at joeholcraft.org. He earned his BA and MA from Franciscan University, and you will see that in his passionate spirit. And he also got his PhD from the Graduate Theological Foundation with studies completed at Oxford University. Most importantly, and I know this to be true because I know what a family man he is a devoted husband and father. He lives in Canal Fulton, Ohio, with his exceedingly beautiful wife, Jackie.
Did you add that, or is that
I added that because she is exceedingly
right.
beautiful. And their four beautiful children, Colby, Avila, Isaac, and Sienna.
You know who our favorite one of his children is.
I love all of his children.
Avila has got to be his our favorite. So welcome.
Welcome, Joe.
It's great to have you. So, Joe, go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
I just say it's great to be here. And, you know, my kids are going to be listening to this, I'm sure, at some point. So, Dan, you better be careful what you say.
Right.
Right. Hey, listen.
Like, I just want to know that Aunt Stephanie said, I love all of his children.
Okay,
they're all
right.
my
She's
favorite.
Just She's just
okay.
Like, yeah.
Well, they will appreciate that.
So, just before we jump into the book, Joe has joined Avila Institute. Last June, I think, and he heads up a program that's incredibly powerful, preparing men for seminary. You know, we really believe the future of the church, the healing of the church, has got to come through holy laity. Of course, we have huge numbers of laity that go through the Avila Institute, but also holy priests. And Joe runs the program. How many dioceses do we help guys go through prep for seminary for, Joe? I didn't say that very well, but how many are we working with now?
Yeah, we currently have 28 dioceses with us and approximately 63 to 65 guys.
Right.
That's awesome.
So we have 63 to 65 guys who we're teaching, and Joe, maybe, you know, I'll say a few that mean a lot to me are mental prayer, liturgy of the hours, We're teaching them about how to deal with social media, how to deal with sexuality issues with Father Bochansky, you know, some top names of priests and lay people who are teaching these guys. What are some of the courses that you really find are powerful for the guys?
Well, you named some of them. Certainly the course on discernment. We have three separate courses on theology of the body, mm-hmm. which is very important, of course, when you start talking about understanding and purpose. We also have some electives that focus on C.S. Lewis, Tolkien, using their creative imagination to evangelize our minds and hearts, and of course, the minds and hearts of the guys discerning. So really, everyone has their favorite course, their favorite module. But as I talk with the guys, each module, no doubt, is serving its purpose in helping these guys along in their discernment.
What I love most about this program, before we move into your book, is that what I've come to understand is that when men go through this program and discern, they're going to go one of two ways. They're going to discern that they are called to be priests, and God willing that we will help them be formed and so that they'll be holy priests, or they're going to discern that they're called to the married life. And to me, that's a win-win, because if they're discerned to be married, they're going to be holy husbands. Everything that they're going to learn here is going to make them holy men to the extent that they embrace it and they live it. So to me, I just think it's a win-win. I love this program. I'm so grateful to have Joe on board on our team. He's doing a fantastic job with our High Calling program. And so I'd invite our listeners, if they want to understand a little bit more what this is, that they can find out more information at avila-institute.org and to the High Calling tab. And you can read all about it and see who our professors are. It's an amazing program, and we want to get word out to any diocese out there that's not participating with us, because we have a way to help you get connected with us so you can get your men that are discerning formed through this program.
Yeah, one of the things I love about it, and then we'll jump into the book, is that vocation directors are usually tasked with more than one job. Often they have a parish, and they have all kinds of things to do. We love coming alongside vocation directors and really helping them to be successful, because once a guy enters their system and they decide, yeah, this is a potential guy for the seminary, we stay with them for the whole year before they get into seminary. And if you want to stay with us another year, we don't have any limits to our content in terms of both the High Calling program or graduate studies, that sort of thing. Joe, let's turn a corner and jump into your book, Unleashing the Power of Intercessory Prayer. I want to open with this simple question. What is intercessory prayer?
Sure. Maybe we should first address the question of what is prayer. And I'm sure your listening audience and viewing audience can say something about it. But for the whole definition, we should talk about prayer. I like to simplify things. And, prayer simplified is conversation with God, right? This listen-response conversation with God, where we're also paying close attention to ways in which God reveals himself. So if you talk about prayer as conversation and this paying close attention to God, then what do we do but pay close attention to, the people around us and how God is using them to reveal himself to us? And no doubt intercessory prayer is a part of that. Intercessory prayer, I think, classically defined, is really to take the petition given to us, requested of us, into that already existing conversation with God that we have and put it before God. God already knows every ache, every desire, right? And when we insert another person's ache and desire into our own, I think there's a very distinct power to that. This is why St. Paul says time and time again, make your requests known before God, he will hear them. And so prayer as conversation with God, paying close attention to the ways in which God reveals himself to us, and then defining intercessory prayer as the taking of that petition into that already existing conversation with God, I think, is to begin to get at what intercessory prayer is all about.
Yeah, I love this quote from St. Thomas Aquinas. Obviously, I love it because I put it in the foreword, which I wrote. It says that we pray not that we may change the divine decree, but that we may impetrate that which God has decreed to be fulfilled by our prayers, that we may beg that which God has decreed to be fulfilled by our prayers. So it's really important, and I ran into this idea through Carmelite spirituality, that if we, God has chosen ends, right? And he has chosen means, and prayer is chosen means, and you, those who listen, you are listening, are chosen means. And if the means don't cooperate with God at his desired ends, what happens, Joe? I mean, from the way I read it and understand it, what God desires to come true in terms of his perfect will, you know, there's an issue there, isn't there?
Yeah. Prayer is just not essential. It's quintessential, right? Because it's salvific, mm-hmm. right? It's salvific. And so you talk about means and ends. We participate in God's divine action when we intercede for one another. This is why St. Paul, again, time and again, speaks to the importance of intercessory prayer. That if we want to see God's will come to full bloom in the life that we are praying for, then we intercede on their behalf. You know, it's interesting. If you go to Romans 8, verse 26, that verse that I think a lot of us are familiar with respect to the Holy Spirit praying for us, with us, what is the action of the Holy Spirit? On two separate occasions, we read the Holy Spirit is interceding. So our prayer, just not intercessory prayer, but just our prayer is an action intercession. And again, when we take another person's request into that prayer, it becomes an exponential, powerful aspect and form of prayer. So the very action of the Holy Spirit is an action of intercession, and one that we participate in so that we might bring glory to God and bring to completion what God desires in the life that we are praying for. And of course, as you speak to it in your foreword, as your exceedingly beautiful wife, Dan, asked so many people to pray for you, here you are with us because we prayed that you would be with us. And well, amen to that.
Our audience may not know that I almost died from COVID, and thousands of people prayed for me. And every time somebody says, I prayed for you, my answer back is, well, I'm alive because of you. It was God's amen. Will that thousands of people were praying for me. His will was that I live, obviously, because I'm alive, and the means that he used to make sure that I lived was all of those people's prayers. And I believe every single one who chose to pray had to choose to pray,
right,
that I might live, that they might participate in the redemptive, salvific work of God in their own life and in mine, and even have the blessing of seeing a miracle.
Yeah.
So we got to go to a break.
Right. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how that came to be and move into this question of how do we pray in the Spirit?
Awesome. All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, friends, this is Dan Burke. If you are blessed by the work of Divine Intimacy Radio, if we've helped you with your spiritual life through spiritualdirection.com, or if you want to join in and change the world through the Avila Institute High Calling Program, where we're now forming men in more than five dioceses around the country to enter into seminary to be holy priests, please consider helping us out with a monthly donation. Go to avila-institute.org, click on the donate button, and give us a hand if you would.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. Our guest, Dr. Joel Holcraft, a friend, a co-worker at the Avila Institute, is also a man of prayer. He's a exceedingly good human, and I'm sure his family agrees. We had the blessing to meet not too long ago up in Ohio. But we're grateful to have you on the show, Joe, and grateful that you are helping the church to understand what is intercessory prayer in your book, Unleashing the Power of Intercessory Prayer. So Stephanie wanted to ask you about a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so when one of the beautiful things about what we were talking about right before the break is this idea that we're cooperating with God's will, right? When we enter into an intercessory prayer. The other way that I've spoken about this myself is that desire to pray has been placed on our hearts by the Holy Spirit himself. He placed that desire on our hearts. So when we hear that urging, that desire to pray, we should follow that prompting,
always.
Especially when we're asked to pray for someone else. You know, when we were talking about the power of intercessory prayer and the role it played in bringing about your survival through COVID, when it's such a horrible, dark time, you really were at death's door in the hospital. I heard clearly 3 days and then rally your troops. And those words came through my spiritual director, who said, rally your troops. And immediately she and I came to understand, we need to call people to pray. We need to go out and rally the troops to pray to God to spare Dan's life and to bring healing in this. And so we did. That's why all those messages went out, because that's not my MO. That's not me jumping out on everything, social media, and using all those ways to ask for people to pray. It's not, I'm a more of an introvert. But I followed that prompting that the Lord said, pray and pray now and ask other people to pray and do it this way. So to me, we were all praying in the Spirit in that. Talk to me, Joe, about what you mean about praying in the Spirit. What does that look like?
Well, I touched upon Romans 8:26 earlier. And before we go there, I want to read a passage from Mark chapter 7, verses 33 to 34, because Jesus himself teaches us how to pray in the Holy Spirit. We read there, he put his fingers into his ears and he spat and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. So he sighed, he groaned. And this is really, we could say, the love language of the Holy Spirit, to sigh and to groan. Now, is this sighing and groaning what we're supposed to be about all the time? Well, let me say this, that all good prayer begins with that self. Digging deep, right? You were just talking, Stephanie, about your experience with Dan and this call to have him healed. Well, James 5 verse 15 says, but make your prayer known and be healed. And then I think it's verse 16 says, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful in its effects. So why do I bring this up? Well, the word fervent isn't just a word that we might tie to someone being on fire, this preachy figure, but one who is in deep communion with God, one who is in deep communion with the Holy Spirit. Even the word communion means what? To be in union with. So when we are with the Holy Spirit, we begin to pray that prayer of the Holy Spirit. But what is the first action? What you touched upon, Stephanie, but to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. And as you do, realize that it is the Holy Spirit already working in your heart. There's the tendency to think, I think today, that, well, it's all about what I can do, or it's all about, how much I can bring, when in fact, it's what God is already doing in your heart. When you look at the word invitation itself, invitatio. It means to summon, to appeal, to make known. When we call upon the Holy Spirit, when we invite the Holy Spirit into our life, we are making known what the Holy Spirit is already doing in our heart. We read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. He's knocking on the door of our hearts, and he desires to enter. And when we invite him in, then he begins the work. And we do that by first invoking the presence of the Holy Spirit, saying, come, Holy Spirit, come to the most powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That is always the first prayer I pray, because I know by virtue of going there, I begin the process of praying in the Spirit. And mindful that this is the beginning of fervent prayer, because fervent prayer is that deep, intense prayer, and the prayer that yields great power and its effects, as James reminds us.
You know, Joe, it's really oddly, I mean, it's not a consequence, what do you call it? It's not a
coincidence
that I was just studying this passage you quoted about Jesus sighing. And the Greek word is stenazo, you know, groan, to groan deeply, it's like there's something painful, you know, this deep desire. The Hebrew word that the Jews translated, they used this Greek word to translate an Old Testament Hebrew word, has to do with trembling, even a deserted sort of trembling, a need or for a thirst to be satisfied. And I think, you know, like, where does that stuff come from? It really comes, Joe, doesn't it, from love? You know, if you really want to intercede for someone, like, I know probably the deepest prayer Stephanie has ever prayed in her life, and I hope not to exaggerate, was when she came up here after she dropped me off at the hospital with COVID, and when it came up to our chapel and laid on the floor.
Yeah, it really was this. The word that comes to mind is this incredible surrender, mm-hmm. you know, and this desire to draw close to the Lord in my nothingness, in the nothingness of the situation, in the poverty of the situation, because there was nothing physically that we could do, right? All we could do was to surrender to the hand of the Lord. And I came up here, I was sick myself. I prostrated myself in front of the altar with my rosary in my hand, and I just laid on the mercy of the Lord, and I said, here I am, and Lord, if it is your will, please spare my husband. Spare my husband. I'm not ready to take this on by myself, and I need him, and I love him. Please don't take his life, right? But then I followed it with, but if it's your will, Lord, I surrender him to you, and I know that you will give us what we need. And I let it go. And then the rest of my time, I just laid with Our Lady, really, and prayed and stayed tucked right into her mantle, placing you there, placing all of our loved ones, placing, you know, everything there, and just waited on the Lord. And it was this deep surrender. I think that's the most beautiful part of praying in the Spirit. It's really truly surrendering to the Lord and understanding his will be done, and it is the best thing. It just may not look the way we want it to look.
So Joe, tell us a bit about what it means to pray in faith.
Sure. With respect to praying in faith, there's lots of things to talk about. I think that the first thing that needs to be said is to understand that how we ought to understand faith. Faith is first a gift, right? It is nothing that we can acquire on our own per se, in as much as it is a gift from God. Second, it is an act. And that's what I want to focus in on. And that act is what but trust. In fact, trust is the most concrete act and virtue of faith. And so what I would put before Dan and Stephanie, your viewing audience and listening audience, is the importance of how we think about faith as it relates to trust, and more specifically, confidence. Mindful that the word faith, fides, right, in the Latin, speaks to trust and confidence. How might we understand this? Well, just take anything that you do. I grew up playing basketball, so I'm going to use the analogy of basketball. When I was a freshman in high school, I was the MVP of the team, MVP of the league, and I really set out to get a basketball scholarship. So between my freshman and sophomore years, I played every day, and I got better. My sophomore year, I got all the same accolades, and I was well on my way, thinking, yeah, I'm going to get this scholarship. And between my sophomore and junior year, I was a little too confident in myself. I stopped practicing. I stopped doing the things that I needed to do to become a better basketball player. And my junior year suffered. And then consequently, my senior year, while I had my moments, it wasn't quite as good. And why? Because I wasn't practicing as I ought. I wasn't going into the games as confident as I could. I would think back. I remember being a junior in high school, sitting on the bench one game thinking, man, I'm just not performing as I ought. Thinking back to my freshman, sophomore years, what I did. And what I did was practice a lot. And so what am I saying here? Well, practice makes perfect. Well, let us say that the more we pray, the more we practice the art of prayer, the more our confidence in God will grow, because again, faith, as it is, yes, first a gift, it is also about confidence, it is about trust, and one that ought to be best understood within the context of relationship. Because if St. Paul highlights anything in his epistle to Rome, is that faith is about relationship.
Joe, that's very inspiring. We're excited to have you back on another show. And we look forward to digging more into your book, Unleashing the Power of Intercessory Prayer.
So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.